this morning, giving all honor and all praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognizing my pulpit associates, Brother MacMillan in her absence, Minister Riley, my beautiful wife, and my church family that's mostly missing. It's an honor, it's a privilege, and it's always, it's an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to stand before you and profess the word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take control, Lord. Take control, Lord. It's only you who knows what we need. It's only you that can discern what's in our minds. It's only you, Lord, that designed this day and this word for this day. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, through me. Use me any way that you see fit, Lord God, but speak a word. For someone is in need of a word. Someone is waiting to hear a word from you. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Come by here, dear Lord. Come by here. We call on you, Lord. We call on you for your empowerment. For there's nothing I can do until you come. There's nothing I can say until you come. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Heavenly Dove. Have your way in this place, in this vessel, on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. For those of you who have Bibles with you, if you would turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Keep your Bibles with you because we'll use them quite frequently this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And I'm going to start with the third verse, and then I'm going to skip down to the 10th verse. First Samuel 17:3 says, "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them." The A part of verse 4 says that there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath. If you go down to the 10th verse, it says, "And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Now, if you would just turn to the gospel according to John chapter 18. I want you to try to keep up with the scriptures that I've given, even from the scripture that was read this morning, which was Luke chapter 4. But now turning to John chapter 18 and starting with the 37th verse, but I'm only going to read the A portion, the B portion of that. It says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Now, for a theme this morning, I want to use a theme as where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. Where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. There's three total scriptures that were between the what was read this morning, the scripture read this morning, and the two that I read, that all three scriptures, but they all have views on truth, faith, fear, and lies. Different views on truth, faith, fear, and lies. Y'all know that we live now in times of increasing uncertainty and perilous times, and times that are sometimes complex to understand. It seems like we stay in a atmosphere of fear and accusations of lies and deceit. Complex to understand. But John 14:6 says, but Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the way, the truth, and the light. You see, Jesus is truth. Just bear with me this morning. Jesus is truth, and anytime you turn away from him, you turn into a lie. You see, we live in times that are increasingly uncertain, perilous, complex to understand. Jesus is the way, truth, and the light. Where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. Let's see if I can paint you a picture here, because in these complex times that we live in, I'm going to give you an example. As I studied the last few days and all of the different things that were coming in, the different incidences in my life, and all of the different readings I was doing, and I looked at the Democratic National Convention, and I looked at Reverend Barber, who had a powerful, powerful speech that he did, and of course, the biggest portion of it I pointed out to the kids, and that was my Sunday school student. I just throw that part in. But as dynamic as he was, and all that he spoke about, he spoke about we need to be a moral defibrillator for the human heart. And he had a dynamic message, but some of the things that he said kind of put questions in my mind. I said, is that the same way that I feel, not that it was pointing that he wrong or I'm right or any of that. It just says, are we on the exact same page? Because some of his doctrine didn't necessarily fit into my doctrine. And then as I continued studying, I ran across an article by Louis Farrakhan. And of course, he's from the Muslim religion, but even as I read that, there were some things that he said that were true as far as I was concerned in my doctrine. Let me just read you a quote from him, and I'm going to tie this together. Part of his quote, he said, "You don't have to be afraid to be right, but you should be terrified of being wrong." So that's just good doctrine. And the article I read, everything he put in that article was good doctrine. But the question was all in my mind to say, is there a disconnect here where he's saying something different than me, or is it not? And then I read an article out of Charisma magazine. And there's always some good articles in there. But anytime you say Charisma magazine, some people say, well, they're too far to one side. So you have to be on your guard when you read that magazine. But I read an article in there entitled, "Are You Listening to God or Go Live?" And it all seemed to fit. It says, okay, in all of this complex world that we live in, says somewhere in here is truth. And so I had to keep my focus and say, well, what is truth? What is truth? And of course, truth is Jesus. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Complex times and sometimes difficult to understand. Sometimes it's downright frightening. Hallelujah. You see, fear is a reality that all of us will face at some time or another. And you'd be surprised how fear can crop in. You can find it in your home with the situations and within your own family. You look at it and say, this can't possibly end right. It's frightening what could happen when I just look at some things. That this is frightening. So fear has a way of creeping in, and you have to be aware. And God is not fond of fear. That's to say the least. Let me read from Revelations 21 and 8. The word says, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immorals, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And funny that of all those things I said, and some of them were horrible things, murderers and sorcerers, of all of those things, what God put at the top of the list was a coward. Out of the murderers and the sexually immoral and the sorcerers, God still puts at the head of the line the cowardly and the unbelieving. The Bible in basic English renders these first few words, but those who are full of fear and without faith, full of fear and without faith. So why is fear and lack of faith so high on God's list of sins? The New Living Translation sheds some light on that matter. It says, you see, cowards would turn away from God. In fear, cowards will run from the battle, and they'll show disloyalty to God. You see, in the midst of trials and the midst of, you know, the tougher it gets and the closer it gets to us with our situations, the more tempting it is for us to turn and run and lose faith in God. And you see, in the spiritual realm, these cowards put their own self-interest above everything, including God. So that's why God has a thing with cowards and fear, where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. Let me say that again. If I don't say anything else, I'm standing up here this morning. Where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. And if you dig into the first part, I said, where truth is absent, if truth is absent, then you are living a lie. Does that sound right?
Amen.
If truth is missing, then you're living a lie. So, in our scripture coming from John, Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? When I take all of the things that I read, the articles I read, I take Louis Farrakhan into this example, but it says, so when you're not even trying to live right, but you're trying to convince people that you are trying to live right, then you're living a lie. That sound about right?
Amen.
Because if it's not truth, then it's the lie. If I don't live truth, I live a lie. So the question that begs to be answered is, so which is worse? Or is there even a difference? Whether I tell a lie or whether I live a lie? Which is worse? That my life tells a lie or my mouth tells a lie? Where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. John 18, the B portion I read earlier, says, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Mm-hmm. That's Jesus speaking. Everyone that's of the truth heareth my voice. So Pilate said to him, so what is truth? Truth is God. Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. Truth is born of fear. 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God have not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear is the absence of faith in God. Faith and fear cannot occupy the same space. So why does God keep that top of his list? Because when you are afraid of what the world has shown you or what situation the world has thrown you into and you show fear, it means you have dropped hold of God, because faith and fear can't occupy the same space. Where truth is absent, fear lives and faith fails. Let me show you something here. It's just easy. Even Jesus was tempted. And that's why I had the scripture read this morning. Even Jesus was tempted. And the devil tempted him with food, fame, and fortune. He thinks it's easy to be tempted with it. The Bible says that Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being 40 days tempted by the devil. You see, it's easy to get caught up in fear if you're not careful. And before I go back through the scripture that I read and close out, I want to just show you how Jesus handled it. When the devil approached him, and the devil said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God," and first Jesus answered him with God's word. He said, "It is written." Secondly, Jesus answered him with God's power. He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." And thirdly, he answered him with God's authority, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So Jesus gives us an example of how to face fear. Because where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. Let me just go through this scripture. It says that there was the Philistine on one side, and Israel stood on the other side, and in between them was a valley.
That's right.
You see, the other article I said that is, are you listening to God, or are you listening to Goliath? Are you frightened by the giants in your life, or are you listening to God? And John P. Key says there's a lily in the valley. You see, when you face your fears, there's a lily in the valley, and he says, bright as a morning star. What he's trying to say to you, if you can just face your fears when it looks bigger than you are. The Bible says, and the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day." In other words, I defy the army of God. And Goliath said to him, "Give me a man that we may fight together." You got any giants in your life? You got any situations that keep cropping up, just keep throwing it up in your face, and see, you're not big enough and you're not bad enough to do anything about this situation. All you can do is take my bluffing, because I'm a giant. Where truth is absent, fear lives and faith fails. And my Bible tells me that when Saul and all of Israel heard those words of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid, and he just shook the world because he was big and he was bad, and he said, I dare anybody to do anything about it. Bible goes on to say, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. You ever had a problem that when you go to bed it's on your mind and you can't do anything about it, and when you get up early in the morning it's on your mind and you can't do anything about it, and it's there all day in your face.
Come on now.
Can't do anything about it, but back off in fear. You see, where the truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? David said, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? What problem have you got that's so big that is bigger than your God?
Come on now.
Don't lie to me now. Because some of us have just been seeing that same giant in our life, and we just leave it there, and we are helpless because we can't do anything about that giant in our life because we turned to fear and lost our faith.
Amen.
David said in verse 37 that, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. That same God that brought you where you are today, that same God that got you over way back when you didn't know which way to go, that same God can move again in your life. So whose voice are you listening to? Are you listening to the God of your life or the Goliath in your life? Where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. Fear is a lie, and it comes from his father, Satan, for Satan is the father of lies. Where truth is absent, fear lives. Faith fails. Mm-hmm. Perhaps the Goliath in your life is financial woes or financial concerns, but my Bible tells me that God will supply all of your need if you just turn to him in the midst of it all. Don't even worry about what it looks like. If you look at what it looks like, then you will see Goliath big and bad. No man can fight him. They tell me he stands close to 7 feet tall, and we can't even carry his armor. But if you look past what it looks like, maybe your Goliath is just worried about the future. What does the future hold for me or mine? I might be concerned about a loved one. I'm concerned with what might happen to them. But God reminds us in his word that he will instruct us and he will teach us the way that we should go. He's got it all in control. Maybe someone in your life that's your enemy just keep right on coming at you. You don't know which way to go. That may be the Goliath in your life, but Romans 8:31 tells us that if God is for us, who can be against us? Where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. You see, there will always be some giants in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And they will try to cause you fear. But God assures us that we can know a calm peace through every situation.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which is promised, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. There was a valley between them, and everybody was afraid to go down into that valley.
That's right.
And face Goliath. You see what happens with us? We get on a mountaintop and we want to just stay there. We don't want to go back to the valley ever again. But God says you can't just stay here. He said, maybe I got something for you in that valley. As John P. Key says in the song that I went to earlier, he said, there's a lily in the valley.
That's right.
Bright as the morning star. He said, there's joy in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
Bright as the morning star. So somebody found love in that same valley. You see, when you go in the valley, don't go by yourself, go with God. Do like David. David said, I know a God that's got all power in his hand. And when Saul tried to fix him up, he said, here, if you're going to go, put on my armor. But David said, I don't need your worldly armor. I don't need your wise suggestion. All I need is to have faith in Almighty God. Somebody found God in the valley. Somebody found deliverance in the valley. Sometimes God has to put you in the valley, because sometimes we won't go by ourselves. So sometimes God has to put you in the valley to find him. And you can find deliverance sometime in the valley.
Yes, Lord.
Somebody found peace in the valley. Somebody found hope in the valley. Where truth is absent,
mm-hmm.
Where truth is absent, faith fails, fear lives. If you keep nothing else, keep that in mind. Where truth is absent, fear lives, and faith fails. Let us pray. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me on, let me stand. Take my hand, precious Lord, and lead me into my fears. Let me know that as long as I hold on to your hand, I can overcome my fears. And let me know that fear and faith can occupy the same space. Take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on and let me stand. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.